I remember last year we were in Nashville, and this was the game in which Arthur Smith pulled Desmond Ridder
right
for for Taylor Heinicke at halftime. And that was also a game in which Tennessee's quarterback, Will Levis, threw four touchdown passes.
Yes, it was ugly.
Yeah, all to D-Hop. And we were like, oh. And fast forward, okay, a year later, and Will Levis, not sold. Not completely sold. No. Don't know if he's going to be a
starter. Too inconsistent.
Don't know if he's going to be a franchise guy. But we made him look like a superstar. And then yesterday, Bo Nix throws for 307 yards and four touchdowns and had an 85% completion rate. Fast forward a year, and here's the difference. He's with Sean Payton. Payton believes in him. Payton said yesterday he belongs. He thinks he belongs in this league, and he's showing it. Guys, there's no rookie quarterback that's been more impactful the last 6 weeks. All you got to do is go back and look. Than this guy and Bo Nix. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about Jaden Daniels, but Mike, I'm sitting here going, a year from now, are we talking about Bo Nix being one of the young, best up-and-coming quarterbacks? Because this is his rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll be a guy that, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Caleb Williams is going to get his second offensive coordinator in two seasons. His coach is a moron. He's on his way out. He basically put the nails in the coffin yesterday the way he managed the end of that game. Jaden Daniels looks great. Penix, I mean, look, Penix in a small sample size. He's only in there at the end of the game. He just drops dimes. I mean, what you saw at the end of the season with Washington, that's what he was doing. We'll have to wait because we've got Cousins for at least one more year, and we hope he gets it together. Maybe two. But, yeah, you're right. Bo Nix could be that guy. You know, Bo Nix, and it's a surprise because you and I maybe were too close to it. We said, Auburn, he was terrible, and that you know the Pac-12 defenses are garbage, and he comes in, he looks like a rock star.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't think they're fully exploring his run game. And
I don't
ability.
Either. I don't either. I mean, like, that's another part that he has if they really want to open that thing up. But, you know, against us, they didn't have to do that. To your point, all those yards, that yak after the catch.
I mean, Drake May is just a giant nothing to me, and I think he will be ultimately. And by the way, just real quick, before we get to some of the stuff this hour, a couple guys hit us up on the text line saying, you know, what about, you know, Terry Fontenot, and doesn't he deserve some blame? We were talking earlier about Jimmy Lake and the defense, spent a lot of time in the defense today.
Yeah, Jimmy Lake didn't build the personnel.
He drafted Ruka Roro, who's on IR right now, and he did draft Braylon Trice. Now, Carl and I said it earlier. You guys didn't get a chance to go to camp this year because they were building all this new stuff at Flowery Branch. Braylon Trice, I thought, was going to be an impact guy and would have been a guy that's doing all some of the things. But I don't think Braylon Trice fixes this defense. I think he would have been a part of the solution and being better.
It would have helped.
But we didn't address. We lost Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree. 13 sacks walked out the building you never replaced. And Matthew Judon. Look, I can't fault him. We all said, hey, Matthew Judon. We're like, yeah, we got this. And meanwhile, the Patriots are like, you can have him.
Strip sack.
Because he ain't doing nothing.
No,
so, I mean, it's not like Fontenot didn't try. Fontenot did draft. Now, Ruka Roro came out of freaking nowhere. No one saw him going to the second round, albeit whatever he's going to be for us. Mm-hmm. But the general manager did try to address some of the things on defense. I just want to get that record straight.
Yeah, Ruka can play. I told you I believe in him, and I think he's going to be a good player. And as I said, he was the third interior defensive lineman on the board for a lot of teams. So I think we got a guy. He's injured. You haven't seen him. But by the way, he's one of the only rookies to crack playing time. So Rook has done that this year. The other guy, Mike, to your point, I don't know if he fixes it, but he helps. But that can't be the end-all of end-alls. And when we look at this team in the offseason, well, however far we go, whatever happens, this is something that's a major concern, period. We got the quarterback thing wrapped up. We got the running back thing wrapped up. You've gone wide receiver, blah, blah, blah. This is the major concern.
Now, look, at the end of the day, I don't care, you know, where he's supposed to go because no one had Micah Parsons where we selected Pitts at four.
That's right.
But Jared Verse was not – a lot of personnel guys just didn't like Jared. Jared Verse one-trick pony. Well, that one-trick pony does that one trick pretty good. He gets after the quarterback. He gets fumbles. He creates tackles for loss.
You know what I've noticed, and maybe you saw this, but his effort is unbelievable. He doesn't have pure pass rush moves, but his effort is unreal.
That's why, and I don't want to sound like I was a homer because I saw him play at Florida State, but he and Braden Fisk are the perfect tandem. They drafted great last year for the Rams. They drafted again this year and nailed it for their defensive line.
Well, that's Les Snead.
Yep, and he gets it.
Snead's been doing that for a long time, and then when he had to supplement it with free agents, they went out and spent the money and won a Super Bowl.
Now, could you have leveraged that penis, where you were picking, and maybe got someone to come up to eight? Because no one, again, we surprised the entire world. There's a reason why the world thought we're a bunch of idiots, because no one saw it coming. So, to me, the double security of never being a quarterback hell and having two quarterbacks. Well, this is a year you could have used an impact player in the first round in defense. I don't think anyone denies that.
Let's hear from our quarterback. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. We've been talking about this all day on a Falcon Monday, and the disappointing loss in Denver was just that, disappointing. 38-6, we have the bye week this week. There is no coaches show tonight, guys. The guys are off. They get a little time away, and we'll get back to it as far as the team is concerned next week, and Mike and I will be up there at Flowery Branch. But we got to get some things resolved. And by the way, that doesn't mean the coaches are taking time off. As a matter of fact, I'd be surprised if they are, because they're trying to fix some of the things that we saw that were not good in this game, especially the last couple of games. And we've got, you know, we've got to go on a run here the last six. Here is Kirk Cousins after the game yesterday with Dave Archer.
Well, Kirk, certainly not the results you guys were looking for. Things were tough. You knew they were going to be tough going in. Tell me about this defense and trying to get the ball moving.
Yeah, they are a good defense. But in the NFL, you know, you're going to face good defenses. First drive, moved the football. We got down to the one-yard line twice. You know, we put ourselves back on a penalty, got back down to the one-yard line, and another penalty brought us back. Had to settle for three. Really only had three possessions in the first half. Even the fourth, you know, the last second possession, we kind of got down there. Even the end of field goal range ran out of time. But settling for field goals hurt. And then in the second half, we couldn't get anything going.
How do you eliminate the nuisance penalty? Because like you said, I think one of the plays you might have scored on with Bijan, and then the excellent throw to Drake to get you to the one.
I think the one was a holding call. So, you know, that's something I'm kind of out of my element. But the second one was just the motion. You know, we've just got to, with the play clock and everything, we've just got to be able to, you know, have the procedure correct. You know, we just did not execute pre-snap, post-snap well enough. And when you don't do that, it comes back to hurt you.
What's your plan of attack now for you as you get into this bye week, get healthy again? I know you're a little banged up as well. What do you do with the bye week and kind of get yourself ready to go?
Well, we have to have some conversations to talk about how we can be better. And, you know, those are conversations. The conversations are one thing, but actually resolving it and getting answers is the other thing. And so that's what we've got to do. And I think that's probably priority number one on the bye week.
You feel confident with the guys, and I know you do, that can happen, that you guys can make that happen?
I do, but it's one thing to talk about. It's another thing to go do it. And with, I believe it's six games remaining in the regular season, you know, we've got this substantial stretch here where we need to play our best football. And, you know, that starts with kind of on the bye week, having conversations, doing self-scout to resolve some of the things that haven't been good enough, and then make sure that the corrections show up in the last six games of the year, starting with our game against Chargers.
Kirk, as always, thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
Does he sound unsure to you? That's what Orange just said in our ear, as far as, you know, where the energy was. Like, it's a humiliating loss, and he's, you know, trying to be reflective, but I don't know if he's supposed to. We're going to get this thing fixed, and we'll get right after it. I don't know if you want to go full John Wayne there.
The caveat there was like, yeah, we can turn things around, but we got to make sure we do it. And that sounds like a guy who is unsure that if they can go out there and get the results that they worked on.
I do feel, look, he feels the same way we feel right now. Like, he's seen a lot of good, but he's also seen the bad. And I think as the quarterback of the football team, you know, you're not going to discuss that publicly. But, yeah, I think some of that, whatever you're feeling is he's feeling. Listen, Kirk Cousins is a real dude, man. Like, there's no phoniness about him. But I also think he knows he's not performing at a level in which he needs to perform. And, Mike, he's looking at the team and going, all right, well, where else are we not performing? And are we going to really be able to get this fixed? Guys, you can't just talk about this. This is – you can't just go in, like, this week or next week and be like, all right, here's what we need to fix. Rah, rah, let's go. There has to be tangible change, and then, Mike, there has to be results on the field. You got to score more. You got to get stops. You got to tackle. You got to do the things that we didn't do.
Look, I mean, as we like to say, by this point of the season, you know, in the bye week now going into week 12, you kind of see what you are. The offense really struggled to get some footing because Kirk Cousins wasn't 100%, and the OC wasn't sure what he could do with his quarterback in the offense. So the defense kept you in all those games. And then all of a sudden the defense starts going, you know, the other way, and now the defense kind of forgets what it's doing in the first half. They've made some adjustments, but we've had three now. I mean, just some awful starts, some things that leave you scratching your head. And then the offense, is the offensive line just wearing down now?
I hope not.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're I know the Pro Football Focus guys, I don't know what they're looking at either, but we're supposed to be one of the best rushing teams. But going backwards, that's where McGarry grades out as one of the worst starting tackles at right tackle. So we don't really do a good job. We mentioned Bergeron. He picked a hell of a day. Now, the defense is really good for the Broncos, but he had a terrible day by his standards. Bergeron's been so good. We never hear him in penalties, right?
No.
Holding,
no.
Had a false start. The offensive line, man. Maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be, or we're just going out and we're going to play the Vikings who blitz up the yin-yang, the Giants who blitz up the yin-yang. These are aggressive teams we're going to be playing.
And the Chargers are really good defensively. And,
oh, you saw the Chargers last night on national TV kicking butt.
All right. We'll hear from Jesse Bates in just a bit. All right. We're going to play that for you in about 15 minutes. But coming up, our conversation with Connor Riley. Dogs beat Tennessee. It was a must win, and they handled their business. What does it say about where they're at right now in this season? Connor explains next. Connor Riley is here from Dog Nation. And Connor, thanks for joining us as always. This was impressive to be down at home 10-0 to a team defensively that was stout as Tennessee was, and then to see the resiliency of the Dogs play out the way it did. Beck throws two touchdowns, runs for another. Let's start there because we spent a lot of time this season talking about him. Was this his best game?
Not only do I think this is the best game of his season, but I think when you factor in the stakes, how limited they are at wide receiver and running back right now, I thought this was the best game of Carson Beck's career. You hear some of the way draft scouts, Todd McShay, et cetera, talk about him. This is the type of performance that Georgia fans, I think, thought they were going to get more frequently this year. He was great at attacking the middle of the field. He used his legs as a weapon in this game. I thought he really woke up when he got hit and took that 14-yard running and plowed his shoulder through a defender. And from there, he was sort of feeling like the player that we all thought he was going to be this season. Again, you know, he doesn't have Brock Bowers. He doesn't have Ladd McConkey. He doesn't have the same support system around him, but he elevated everyone on that offense on Saturday. And it's not a coincidence that Georgia gave up zero sacks and Carson Beck goes out there and plays his best game. So I think there's, you know, some trust that has finally been developed in terms of what's out there and what he's working with. And you showed that in the biggest stage so far this season, with Georgia's season, in my opinion, effectively on the line, they were able to go out there and get it done and get a just simply massive, massive win for where they are at this point in the season.
You know, Connor, it was funny watching the game and watching that throw to Arian Smith. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I mean, he puts it literally right in the perfect position. So, hey, if the wide receivers can't get it done, let's use the tight ends. Because still, I know that he's not Bowers, but Oscar Delp was highly recruited. You know, Lucky's been able to contribute. So I thought it was great from Bobo, the game plan. We've been killing Bobo. And the confidence you just talked about with Carson Beck to put those balls into some tight windows.
Yeah, the tight ends, I think because they're just so banged up at the wide receiver position now, like, it's finally like, hey, yeah, like let's get these tight ends more involved. And yes, you know, none of them are Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, I think, had an NFL rookie record for catches for a tight end yesterday. Like that guy is so clearly a 101. But, you know, that kind of production you saw, 10 catches, 130 yards, two touchdowns from the tight end room. That's the sort of stuff that I think you can look to see and use more and more again. Because Oscar Delp, so much of this was attacking a specific weakness in that Tennessee defense, and they went to it over and over again, and it really worked in that first half there. They've been able, I think, all season to scheme up explosive plays for Lawson Lucky, and he's been able to make them work in that regard. And then Benjamin Urosik, having his best game as a Bulldog on Saturday as well, he's made leaps and bounds as a blocker in that sense, and that was where I think Georgia wanted him to improve the most to get him on the field. But you saw on Saturday, some of those underneath routes, yards after catch, where Brock really feasted in the past, he excelled in that regard. So if he's able to block well enough, he's now in a spot to where he can be on the field enough and get those positional catches to where he can do some of the underneath stuff, the crossers, the drag routes, et cetera, and turn a 3-4 yard pass into a 15-18 yard gain. So if they're able to get that out of their tight ends, again, not expecting to put Brock Bowers type numbers up every week, but contributions from all three of them, all three of those guys played at least 40 snaps. That's, I think, what it's going to have to look like for this Georgia offense moving forward.
How good was the defense when you talk about them jumping out to that 10-point lead and then you really don't let them back in the game? They score, you know, a touchdown after that, and that's it.
Yeah, shutout in the second half. Georgia had 5 sacks on the night. You know, the run defense didn't start the game great, but I thought the adjustments that Glenn Schumann and this Georgia defense were able to make over the course of the game. And really, I think putting more of this game on Nico Iomiliava's shoulders, I still can't pronounce his name there, but putting more and more of the game on his shoulders, I think helped Georgia in that regard. And as the Bulldogs were ultimately able to get a lead, you saw that Tennessee just lacked the skill players around Nico. I think, to really take advantage of that out there. And so it's a credit to Georgia. It's a credit to them for, I think, really keeping him in the pocket and not letting him use his athleticism. And there were a few times where he did try and scramble. They did try him on designed runs. And when they ran him, Georgia made it a point to pop him and hit him hard. He was coming into the game with a concussion, had been listed as questionable. He's not exactly the most sturdily built quarterback that Georgia has ever seen. He's not a Jalen Milroe type who can take those sort of beatings. And so I thought Georgia made it a point to make Nico think about running and taking off, and he didn't do that all that often. And right now he's just not a good enough quarterback, and that Tennessee scheme is not good enough to beat Georgia from the pocket. And I think that's a huge reason why Georgia was able to find a way to claw back and get a win in that game after, you know, end of the first quarter, offense is getting booed off the field.
Right.
They make so many big adjustments and play the game that I think a lot of us thought that Georgia was capable of playing all season.
Connor Riley from Dog Nation, guys, after the Dogs get it done, I kind of got a kick out of Kirby using the platform of the post-game interview to say, yeah, man, basically, you know, all right, Indiana, Ohio State, you come down here and run that BS schedule. Penn State as well. But, I mean, you know what? You gotta do it in this day and age. I don't know if it resonates with the College Football Playoff Committee, but I don't think when you look at the strength of schedule, anyone should have a problem with what Kirby said.
Yeah, Kirby, in circumstances this year, has been a lot more candid, a lot more blunt in terms of sharing how he feels. And I think the College Football Playoff Committee criticism is an example of that. And it's going to be really interesting as we get in the stretch run here. And again, you know, so much of this, it's important to remember, these College Football Playoff rankings are a TV show. They don't matter, right, in my opinion, until we get to the final one. But I can understand why someone takes some value and some meaning from that. I think, you know, in the event that Georgia gets through this regular season 10-2, and they have the resume that they have, wins over Tennessee, wins over Texas and Clemson, road losses at Alabama and Ole Miss, two teams that are potentially going to make the playoff as well. I don't know that there's a team out there that could do better than what Georgia did in this schedule. And, you know, the idea that they're going to have to potentially go on the road in the first round as opposed to like a Penn State or an Indiana, getting a first round game at home simply because they don't play that many tough teams in the Big Ten. The only four teams ranked in the Big Ten are Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana. The top of that conference is just not as deep. Whereas Georgia challenged themselves in the non-con. They're going to play Tech. And like, if Tech gets a win over NC State this week, it's not out of the realm of possibility to see them maybe jump in at the end of the rankings there. They played a really difficult schedule. And because of that, I think that Georgia, at the end of the day, deserves to be rewarded at least with a home playoff game of some sorts. And so I think Kirby agrees with that, especially when you factor in the schedule and the road schedule that they had to play this year.
This whole Beck running thing, as we move forward, is this going to be a part of what they're asking him to do? Or was that just, you know, hey, if it's there, take it kind of deal?
I think it's probably somewhere in between the two where, you know, they're not going to run him like, say, Stetson did in the red zone or, you know, Lamar Jackson does with Todd Monken now with the Baltimore Ravens. I think it's one of those things that in select circumstances, third downs, like you saw on that red zone, that go-ahead touchdown there, you think the third down against Texas where he scrambles there in the fourth quarter, those situations, they're going to allow him to do that. And he, I think, has the wherewithal to know, like, hey, I'm not going to open myself up to more hits than I need to here. But it's clear that the Georgia offense benefits, just like I think any offense in general, the threat of a running quarterback. There's a reason why Georgia's defenses have always seemed to struggle with that. It just puts extra pressure on the defense. And with Georgia so limited right now around back in terms of the skill players that are healthy and out there and able to help them, he's good enough. He has a good enough running ability in my mind to where, like, that is something where Georgia maybe should, you know, give him more than, say, five carries in a game, but in select situations, third downs, red zone, encourage him to use his legs and push through and get a first down or a touchdown, as we saw on Saturday.
All right, with UMass coming up, are we going to see Gunnar Stockton? I mean, are we going to see any of the other quarterbacks in this game?
I think it's very important for Georgia to get up big early in this game. Like, look, UMass, they're out their starting quarterback. They fired their head coach this morning. This is a game where if you're Georgia, you get up big in the first half and you spend that second half getting some of those players that we don't get to see a lot. Not just Gunnar Stockton, who I think is going to throw passes and get him some reps, but Ellis Robinson, Nitro Tuggle, Sakobe White. Get some of those freshmen that we haven't had a chance to see play a whole lot and see what they can do against other competition. And while, like, yeah, they're probably playing better guys at Georgia in practice Monday through Thursday, there's still incredible value in going out there and showing that you can do it against someone else. And I know it's not the same caliber of competition, but I think in the course of Carson Beck's career, him coming in the 2022 Vanderbilt game in the second half and playing really well with the second string offense, I think really helped him take up the mantle of being Georgia's starting quarterback. I'm not saying Gunnar Stockton's going to do something similar against UMass on Saturday, but I do think that that is something worth watching for, especially with how aggressive Georgia might choose to be with Gunnar Stockton back there at quarterback.
Hmm. Good stuff. As always, Connor, tell the people where they can find your stuff. Great win for the Dogs on Saturday night.
Yep, you guys follow me on Twitter, at K Connor Riley. We've got a ton of stuff coming out still.
Cool. All right, great stuff. There he is. He covers the Dogs. And you know what, Mike? When he talks about, you know, all the things that the Dogs did right, as I said, it gives you hope that, you know what, they can do this, not only for this game, but also, I'm not worried about UMass. I'm just going to keep it real. Come on. Georgia Tech's going to be a tough game because it is what it is. But getting into the playoff, which I think Georgia will now, right? Finishing 10-2.
This was huge. This was like losers out, basically.
And getting into the playoffs. And here's where I'm at right now. I've been caught up with them getting a bye and being a top seed by winning the SEC, which is always what you want to do. But Mike brings up a valid point. Maybe it might be in their best interest to not have to deal with that, Mike, and just host a game at home.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a Texas A&M. It'd be kind of weird to have a Texas A&M rematch in Atlanta.
That would be crazy.
But that's part of, you know, what we may see around here with the same thing. You may have an Oregon-Ohio State rematch for their championship. Either way, Georgia, look, you passed the eye test. It was a little sluggish in the front, but everything we've talked about, Bobo's play calling, the execution, the linebackers, secondary, everything came together.
All right, when we come back, we're going to let you hear Jesse Bates and what he had to say about the Broncos game. It wasn't good. 38-6, the loss. No coaches show tonight, guys. It is the bye week for the Falcons. Everything resumes next week, including Mike and I being back up there at Flower Branch. Hopefully we can right the ship and get going again against the Chargers. But Jesse talked about all the things on defense and also a story that happened when we left the show Friday that needs to be discussed. We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was reading some of the comments on our Twitter. We don't say X here on Dukes and Bell. It's a put 'em up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. You can follow us. Coming up, by the way, we got Turtle Chris Thomas to get you all the way up to Hawks basketball tonight right here. Yeah, they're on the West Coast swing, man, taking on the Kings. I guess Red Velvet's still there after they lost a disappointing game to Portland. A couple guys, Tennessee fans, Phil, they got jobbed by the officials in this game.
Really?
I'm like, really? I mean, they say, you know, because when the Georgia player takes the swing, well, yeah, the Tennessee player grabs him by the leg and takes him for a drag. I think the ref said, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the refs, by the way, real quick, we didn't mention this earlier. We're going to play some of that sound and hear what some of our guys had to say after the loss. A couple guys, including me, I went nuts. I was dropping F-bombs. I was losing my mind on Twitter. I deleted it because once you lose by 32 points, you can't bellyache about the refs.
You can't.
But the incompletion play to start the second half on when we got the stop on fourth down, Mike Pereira goes, oh, that's not a fumble. That's not even a catch. And then, of course, the NFL goes, and then Pereira, it's like the day, it's almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Oh, no, it was a catch and fumble. He had three steps. Nobody knows what a catch is. It's gotten so convoluted. But, again, I think once you get smoked like we did, Carl, you don't get to bellyache about the – although I will say this, they were holding our receivers a lot.
They were, but you got outplayed. And it's hard to blame the officials in those situations. We'll let you hear Jesse Bates in a moment. Real quick, we did not mention this, and this is just great news because we're such big fans of the show, and that's Inside the NBA. Mm. Friday, it was announced that Inside the NBA, guys, is moving basically to ABC next year. And the cool part about this is TNT is going to still produce the show.
Which is great because you worry about it losing its edge because with all due respect to all the different personalities that ESPN uses, even, quite frankly, Stephen A., nothing matches the energy and the connection and just the vibe of the NBA on TNT.
Well, that dirty-ass water.
Yeah, man. So that is great news. And we could get into the minutia of this. We don't need to. At some point, we'll get Chuck on and Shaq and ask them about this. But the crew is staying together, including Ernie.
Great to hear, because Ernie didn't want to leave if it couldn't be helped.
No, and so a big shout out to all those guys because we know you guys listen, and Ernie is a friend of the show. But I couldn't have been more happy when I heard this. I think we were on our way home, and you sent that on Friday, and we were like, what? But this was a deal between partnership between Warner Brothers and ESPN and TNT Sports, and this is cool. So. We were all concerned about that because it's such a great show and it does so much for the NBA. it's going to move to ABC, and we'll get a chance to see these guys continue to do their thing for some years to come. All right, let's hear from Jesse Bates. We've been talking about this loss all day. Appreciate everybody checking us out and certainly giving us your thoughts about where we are, your concerns. And as we move forward through this bye week, you know, we're watching all these other teams. And Mike said, are we going to get into the playoffs and lay an egg? Like, it feels that way sometimes when you lose this way. It doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. I think everything we saw yesterday is correctable. But it's going to take some work. And the other thing is, we got to get healthy. I mean, we can't deny that you had six guys basically out yesterday from the DBs. You had four DBs out.
You were in the third string. Yeah, Richard yes. Grant was out there. I mean, yes. Clark Phillips, everybody was banged
up. No Troy Anderson, Mike. No Taquan Graham.
Right.
I mean, all these guys, Smith Williams, who has a sack on the season, that's depth. And that is an issue. So you have to get healthy. But here is what Jesse Bates said after the game with our own Dave Archer.
Jesse, you knew coming up here, this is a tough place to play. They've got a good crowd, the crowd noise, all that kind of stuff. It's a talented team. What was it you felt like gave you the most problem today?
Yeah, I just think that we started out slow again. Whether that's us just giving up a touchdown on that first drive, giving them the momentum, and just never really calmed down like we usually do in the second half. It kind of got out of hand a little bit. But I feel like we can learn from this and go into our bye week, get healthy, and respond the right way these last 6 weeks, because I know what we have in that locker room. I know the type of leaders that we have on this team as well. And I know we'll respond. We'll respond for sure.
Our John Foy, defensive player of the game, the John Foy strong arm defensive player of the game, 10 tackles today. You really said everything there. What you're going to do in your bye. You got plans to get yourself healthy and kind of get your mind right?
Yeah. Everybody's, Rod's doing a good job of, with the scheduling and keeping guys informed. I'm sure some guys will go home, some guys will stay back and get healthy. But whatever it is, we just need to, everybody need to go back and reflect on, what can we do better? How can we add value to this team in the second half of the season? Because like I said, we're going to be playing some tough games. If we want to get to the playoffs, we got to play at our best. So I'm excited for the second half of the season.
Yeah, no, by the way, you guys are still in first place too. So you got that to take care of. Thank you.
Absolutely. Rise up, baby.
Yeah, man. Like, he's a leader. And as we used to say from the movie The Departed, who are you? I'm the guy that does my job. You must be the other guy. He's the one guy that does bring a lunch pail every week. I thought Simmons had a bad day in the office. That was tough for him. And you said it, Carl. It was a combination of when we did blitz on some of the longer throws, they didn't get there. And then everything else was so quick coming out. And then the linebackers, and we just watched some of the highlights on NFL Network, guys ran for yards and yards, 199 yards after the catch, because nobody could get within the area code of the receiver.
That was the issue. It's not that they completed passes on you. It's the fact that they ran for days after they completed those passes. It's one thing to have guys catch it in front of you, Mike, but you got to make plays, and we didn't do enough of that. Hey, coming up, as we mentioned, Hawks at Sacramento later tonight. Turtle's got a bridge show, but it's going to be for a couple of hours, which allows him to dive into a few things. And then if you're looking for the Monday night game, Houston at Dallas, it's on our sister station, WAOK, starting at 7:30. Turtle, what do you got coming up tonight, man?
How about Dyson Daniels, huh? Playing really well.
Incredible.
So we could talk about that.
Yeah.
By the way, that disappointing loss last night.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys who, there's so much football and maybe you didn't get a chance. I watched the highlights. Carl and I were talking earlier this morning. Blow a 10-point lead halfway through the third.
Yeah.
Against a team which is, I think, Carl, we said they are the same record as us, but still, they're not like a quality squad from Portland.
No.
You don't want to ever get caught up into this term, which is called resulting.
They shouldn't have lost the game. And, I know they've been short. Tonight, hopefully, we get some reinforcements back. But, yeah, man, listen, I'm with you. You want to talk about Dyson Daniels? Let's do it.
Atlanta United's got a big playoff match on Saturday. Atlanta, how about that? Yeah.
Atlanta!
United!
Yes, let's talk about that instead.
Vamos ATL, boys. Come on.
And how about them Bulldogs?
Yeah, man. Carson Beck said, shut the
He did. Well, shut the front door.
Hey, man, it's funny. I always get a kick out of guys. Sometimes, dog fans, I joke around with Carl about guys being soft. You guys are killing him. Well, we weren't the only ones, okay? There are a lot of guys in Bulldog Nation that were killing Carson Beck, and he responded. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I just need him to keep it up. And this is what we expected, by the way. This is not what we saw.
He was a game manager. Again, that audio has been doctored.
I don't remember that.
Did not say that.
I am calling
Carson Beck a bum.
This is what we expected from him. All right, so you're going to talk about all those things and not what you're ignoring right now?
No, that's a convenient narrative.
Yeah. All right.
How about art, baby?
Yeah, we put it off long enough.
By the way, Confucius is kicking ass up in Pittsburgh, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's killing it.
Really is. It's no longer
he could coach. He didn't have a quarterback.
It's no longer a question of when. It's if. And we got to talk about it.
Oh, all right, not when, but if.
Stay there.
Well, if is the middle word of life.
I was about to say, that's what she... let's get out of here and clear our throat! Thanks to our guest today, Connor Riley, stopping by, and also our man from Fox 5. Go listen to the interviews. They're all online at Odyssey.com, guys.
Tomorrow, the other Miles Garrett.
Yeah, Miles Garrett. Yes, Miles Garrett. All those interviews online at Odyssey.com. Tomorrow, another big show. Wednesday, Mike and I are out and about. We're going to tell you about where we'll be on Wednesday. And Friday, we're at Twin Peaks Buckhead.
Right.
Friday. All right, so just planning the week out. We'll tell you more about it. Monday Night Football tonight, by the way, who you like? Texans?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy the idea. Thanksgiving, you're going to be stuck with Tommy DeVito for the Giants, who are going right past Drew
Locke. Who did you say?
Tony DeVito.
Oh!
Yeah, Tommy. And then you got like Cooper Rush and all these other bums for the Cowboys. I'll go with the Texans tonight. I presume they're going to kick some butt.
Yeah.
They've been, offense sometimes a little pedestrian for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. I just find it hard for the Cowboys to find a way to win. All right. Big O, great job doing all the things today. Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, I hope it looks better than Dwayne Wade's Pat Riley getting a statue outside of whatever the hell Staples Center is now called in Los Angeles. There's seven other Lakers legends, needless to say, Kareem, Magic, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, Kobe, Shaq, Shaqtus, and even Chick Hearn. The milk is in the fridge. So, yeah, Pat Riley's going to get his own statue now that he's finally.
Slam dunk!
He's finally, you know, again, just sort of president emeritus of the Heat. Should have gotten a long time ago. Showtime Lakers, still one of my favorite sports teams of all time.
I'm with you. I totally agree. Hey, we always knew he was good, but now he is truly in the MVP race. We're talking about Josh Allen. Did you see the 26-yard scamper yesterday to beat the Chiefs? Look, I'm all about Bills Mafia. But you got to do it when it matters most. That's in the playoffs. You can't get the Chiefs at home and then blow it and say, well, you know, he's still one of the best. It's time for Allen to step up and take them to the next level. By the way, the MVP race is really two guys right now. It's Lamar and Josh Allen. Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You just sent your resume to Kennesaw State for that head coach job on Indeed.